Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, I there's like 10 times the number of people I thought would be in here this morning. Thank you. Welcome to Moe's. Okay, good. Let's go. Listen, my name's Adrian, but my wife's name is Lisa. She's 5'4", comes to the mat right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox. Cha-ching! I'm deeply, desperately in love with my wife. I couldn't care less what you think about that. I'm 6'6", pretty much do what I want, but I wanted you to know, I think men should brag about their wives, or as far as they're concerned, they're half a man. You understand what I'm saying? I like Fruit Loops, so you don't have to be one of them. You understand what I'm saying? I wish they put marshmallows in Fruit Loops. That'd be so much better, but they don't know nothing. They don't know. People just don't know. So here's what we're going to do. Real quick, I want all the married men to stand up. Let's go. All the married men stand up. Let's go. Hurry up. I was at a different school recently, and this guy brought flowers to his wife. Right when I did this, it was pretty cool stuff. All right, all the married men stand up. You know the rules. I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about what you're going to say. Then I'm going to give you 10 seconds to brag about your wives out loud. Whoever's the loudest gets a major award. Fragile, you know what I'm saying? A major award. So whoever's the loudest gets a major award. I mean, I used to pay for my dad to give me this. I mean, it was a major thing. So when I say go, you got 10 seconds to brag about your wives out loud. On your marks, get set. Go! Five seconds. Three. Two. Good job, gentlemen. Good job. Good job. All right, who was the loudest? I don't even knock. Right here, he's the loudest right here. All right. Here's, I'm going to give you an award now. Listen, I used to have to pay for this. You ready? Attaboy. It's a major award, man, Fragile. Okay, good. Open your Bibles, if you will. Take your time. Hurry up. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. We're going to start reading with verse 2. Very important passage for my life. I have like 857 most favorites in the Bible, but it's one of them. One of my most favorites in the Bible. To the church in Ephesus. Verse 2. I know your works, Jesus says. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Let's pray again. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us understand your word. Your word is truth. Help us to know how it can affect not only our lives, but the lives of the people we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It talks a lot about who we are in Christ. And me having a war with low self-esteem almost all of my life, that book has helped to set me free from several different occasions of fighting with low self-esteem. The first chapter, hey, what's going on? What team are you guys over here? Basketball. Because you look like a little bit like football. Okay, so watch it now. You see the size of his arms? He got some big arms, man. Put that away. That's illegal in some states. So watch this now. So my point here is that I meant that as a compliment, you know? Okay, so I'm going to walk over here and talk over here. Okay, so my point here is that that's a great book. Paul planted the church in Ephesus in 61, 62 AD, somewhere in there, give or take a few years. And Jesus wrote this comment, or this comment was written by John in around 95 AD, so 34 years later. 34 years. These people were trained by Paul. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, one and a half year stints, and he poured himself into this church in Ephesus. I mean, they were trained by Paul. What happened? I mean, you can even see what he says here. Look what he says here. He says, I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. Is that not exactly what we do here? I mean, this is us here. This is us. and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake and have not grown weary. I mean, they've gone through some suffering, some persecution. And when Nero in 64 AD, when he was dipping Christians in oil and burning them for his garden parties, I mean, it was a violent, he empowered the whole world, the known world at the time, to hate Christians. And they were persecuted and crushed. I mean, they were destroyed. I mean, crushed over and over and over again. And Jesus is telling this church, you guys have done good through that. Good job. Like if I came in here preaching, you know what? Jesus might not be God. Many of you in the room, I hope all of you would be upset with that. Of course, I don't believe that. I know he's God. But I mean, if I came in, so you guys have a basic understanding. But who are these people who left their first love? Who are they? They're the Ephesian church. Are they the leaders? Are they the preacher guys? Are they the I think all of them were guilty of leaving their first love. And it's a very, very dangerous thing. Today, we're going to look at what first love is. We're going to look at who it hurts, who it bothers, what happens to it. And then we're going to talk about how to get back to the first love and what that really looks like biblically and how first love should be a thing that consumes us. It's a big, big, big deal to me. So who gets hurt when you lose your first love? I remember Steve Spurrier called me one time. He said, preacher, can you come over and watch film with us? And I said, coach, I would love to. I knew why he did it. I'd done it before, but this was an egregious time because we were playing Arkansas and a player on a punt team jogged on the punt team. And because he jogged, it left a hole in the defensive gap. And the Arkansas player ran through that hole, scored on a punt return, and we lost the game because of it. Lost the game. So I walk into the film room and coach is sitting there, the whole team's in there, and the whole team gets this collective, oh no. Because they know what I'm gonna do. I just walk in, I sit down, hey, preacher, come on here, preacher, sit down right here. Yeah, right here, preacher, yeah. So I sat down right next to him. I sat down there, and he said, and he was just watching. We were watching the film. He did this on purpose. He was manipulating me. He knew the next play was going to be the guy jogging, and I saw the guy jogging. I went, hey, whoa. And he was doing it. He was playing it back and forth. He said, look at that hole left open. I said, oh no. I'm mad that they scored. Don't get me wrong, but I understand that. But somebody jogged. I didn't look at the number. I didn't see who it was. I didn't care who it was. I just said, somebody jogged. Who would jog on a football field? Who would go half speed? What in the world? I'll never forget what I did. I don't know what came over me. I started going, ka-boom-boom-chicka-chicka-boom. I started walking out of the room, slamming things. I hit the wall, wham, 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 three times. Open the doors, slammed the doors behind me. The whole team's just sitting there going, and apparently, coach told me later that we never had someone jog on punt team again. Well, what kind of person would go half speed on a punt team? You see, if this one guy went half speed, I don't know who it was, but he affected the entire team. If you lose your first love, it affects people around you. How many of you play an instrument? Raise your hand if you play an instrument. How many of you have been in an orchestra before? Right? You've played in third, second, first chair. How many of you guys have done that before? You played the, what's the name of that? So far away. So watch this out. Are you first chair so far? Okay, so watch this out. So I don't think I've ever asked that question before in my entire life. Okay, so my point here is that if you play, how many of you have ever played or heard someone play a note a half beat off? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Okay, tell me about it. I got to get down here. What is that hurt? Okay, what does that sound like when someone plays a note half speed off? This whole section under, raise their hands. What does it sound like when someone plays a note half speed off? Bad, really bad, like horrible. I wouldn't know because I don't have an ear that's trained. I mean, what was the name of that big guy who was jumping up and down on the stage during a Crowder concert? Dubido? Kadashi? Malashi? Tadashi? I mean, he could have missed 1,000 notes. I have no idea. I mean, loved it, by the way. He could turn his legs up and be the same size. So watch this now. So he had the biggest calves I've ever seen in my life. But my point here is when something's wrong on the basketball court, when someone does something they're not supposed to do, if someone jogs or it messes up the whole system, the whole program is messed up. When someone loses their first love, it affects people around them. When you're not going full speed for the Lord, when you're not in love with Jesus, and can you hide what you love? I mean, is it possible to hide what you love? How many of you know right now? Raise your hand if you know exactly right now where your cell phone is. Raise your hand if you know where your cell phone is. Raise your hand. How many of you do not know where your cell phone is? Lost it, huh? Lost it. Did you lose it? Yes or no? It stopped working. Same thing. Same thing. So, I mean, my son, I have a younger son named Benjamin. By the way, Branson, my son's right here. Branson, who's your daddy? Okay, so watch this now. My son, Benjamin, my youngest son, he still has this little flip phone looking thing. It's like a little, he never knows where his phone is because he doesn't really care. But I'm just saying, he's only in ninth grade. I'm not going to get him a phone until he's 33. So watch this now. So my point here is if you love something, you get better at it, you improve. How many of you can text right now without looking at the screen? Raise your hand if you can text without looking at the screen. Raise your hand. Come on, millennials. How many adults can do it? Raise your hand, adults who can text without looking at the screen. Yes, yes. Who is that? You probably work with students. So watch this now. So my point here is that, I mean, if you love something, you're going to get better. You're going to improve. It's going to be a lot of things. But when you lose your first love, it affects the people around you. You know who else it affects? It affects you. There's discouragement. There's deep-seated, deep-rooted pain in your soul when you lose your first love. When Christ is not your first love, it is a serious, serious issue. Now, I have felt it. The reason why I wrote this message is about 4 weeks ago, I was preaching a message. And at the end of invitation time, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Now I've never really heard an audible voice, but this is louder to me than an audible voice, if that makes any sense to you. I felt like the Spirit of the Lord said, what about you? And I felt like over the past couple years, I've had a rough, rough time this year. I mean, a lot of stuff's been hitting me lately. I found out I have diabetes. My brother passed away, crushed me. I remember shaking so hard, I was weeping so hard. My mom, she just found out last week, a couple weeks ago, that she has stage 4 lung cancer now. I'm getting her to go see her tomorrow, and if you could pray for my mom, I'd appreciate it. I mean, it's a lot of stuff hitting me. We put down 2 dogs. My best friend in the world, who I painted house with for 15 years, passed away of cancer, Chuck Peters. Graduated here. My mentor, Robertson McQuilkin, passed away. All this stuff just piling on top of me. When you lose your first love and all that stuff's going on, it is amazingly lonely. Amazingly hard. And I felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me, what about you? And I broke, I was on stage preaching, gave the invitation, and I broke, I got on my face, and I just started weeping. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been focusing on these problems. I've not been rejoicing in you. I've not been seeking your face. Because the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, and Peter was written to people who've been suffering and going through trials and tribulations of many kinds. A lot of horrible things happened in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, anyone who has struggled and suffered and gone through the suffering has ceased from sin. That doesn't mean sin has stopped, don't get me wrong. It just means, it's like when you rejoice in your suffering and adversity, you fly and sin is down there. You can see it. I'm not preaching perfectionism here, but there's some kind of victory over it. Joy and worship. When you lose your first love, there's very little victory over sin. Sin just sits there. I promise you, Satan does not want you to have a first love for Christ. I promise you, he wants you to be defeated and live in depression and discouragement and frustration. Now, that's not the only reason why people get depressed. There's a lot of medical reasons. My brother himself, when he was fighting this depression stuff, I walked up to him and said, how you doing, man? He looked at me, and he's one of my best friends in the world. He looked at me and said, you try it. I mean, he snapped at me. Very serious stuff. And sometimes you need medication for it. And I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about losing your first love and how it affects you physically, spiritually. It affects you. And then another thing that I have to ask is if you have left your first love, let me ask you a very, very serious question that has to be asked. And it's kind of like my calling in the ministry. Are you sure that you've truly given your life to Christ? If you have left your first love and it's been a consistent thing in your life, you've never really had it kind of thing, are you sure you truly gave yourself to the Lord? I mean, we represent a generation that's generation number 7 that have widespread awakening. There's a term that I've heard thrown around that's old-fashioned. And I've been studying and figuring out, I've been thinking through what old-fashioned, you know what I call old-fashioned? Since I'm getting older, I'm thinking this way, bless my heart, for all my Q-tips in the room, you understand what I'm saying? Did I just say that out loud? I did not say that. Love you, brother. Okay, so watch this now. So my point here is old-fashioned to me. You know what old-fashioned really is? It's conservative thought. That's all old-fashioned is. And so people are saying today, the younger generation is saying today, well, Paul would have written something different if he lived today. Oh, no. That's old-fashioned. Now, I hear that term a lot now. That's old-fashioned. You know what old-fashioned really is? It's biblical conservative thought. Doing what's right. When you walk with Jesus, when you obey the scriptures, when you trust and obey the scriptures, we sing a lot, even the songs we sang this morning. I love the songs because the Bible's all over these songs about what God thinks about it. He's a loving God and he loves us so much, and that's who we are. And all these great songs, which I approve of 100%. But how many songs out there today about trusting and obeying? How many songs are there out there about how to obey is better than worship, better than sacrifice? How many songs are out there that's talking about how I'm supposed to love God and obey him and love him and walk with him intimately? Can you separate love from obedience? Absolutely not. Love always, every time, precedes obedience. And when we lose our first love, sin just sits there and just wants to crush us. And so I have to ask, if it's been going on for a long time, are you sure you've given your life to Christ? You know, the great verse about eternal security in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things are written for those of you who believe in the Son of God, that you would know for sure that you have eternal life. These things are written is 1 John. 1 John 2, 6 says, those of you who claim to be Christians ought to walk as Jesus walked. I didn't write that. Those of you who claim to be Christians ought to walk as Jesus walked. Now, I'm not talking about perfectionism here. I'm talking about first love. When you have that, it doesn't matter how many times you mess up. You're trying to get better. You're trying to improve. You're trying to love the Lord. You're trying to improve. Where is that effort? Where is that drive? I feel like this entitlement stuff that's going through the world, and I'm not going to just say our country. When I was in Egypt preaching, I saw the same thing there. This entitlement stuff that's going through the world now is really affecting us and really keeping us from knowing the greatness of God and the victorious Christian life and understanding what it means to walk intimately with Christ. It's not some easy thing that's just going to fall on top of us that we get a trophy without doing anything. It's not that. It's you bust your face because you love, and that's why you do it. Have you ever seen a guy lifting or someone playing the piano? I mean, how many of you guys play the piano? Raise your hand if you play the piano. Can you get a tenth? How many of you can get a tenth? Raise your hand if you can get a tenth. Look at the size of his hand. That's why. Okay, so watch now. I saw this one girl taking her fingers, and she was just doing this. Oh, I said, what are you doing? I'm stretching my finger. Why? So I could get a tenth. What? I mean, she was sweating. Oh, it was painful for her. Why would you do that? No pain, no gain. No pain, no tenth. It's the first time I've ever said that in my life. I'm going to just say it. I was lifting weights with a strongman champion, the 200-pound weight class. His name is Kevin. He's the biggest 200-pound guy I've ever seen in my life. His lats are so big, he could not put his arms down. His legs were so big, he walked around his legs. I mean, this guy was a monster. He was squatting 405. Not that big a deal for some of y'all out there. Okay, so it's not that big a deal. Not that 405. But he was doing what I would call full squats. And when I say full squats, he was touching his gluteus on the ground, Branson, doing sets of 12. Going all, I can't do it. Get a job. So watch that. I mean, he was in a cage in the back with chains on him. And it was walk. Walk. I was out in the front with my little 45-pound dumbbells going, because I thought he was going to eat me. He comes out of the back room, the vein coming down his forehead. He looks at me and says, Adrian. I said, yes, sir, Mr. Kevin, sir. He said, Adrian, that was a good burn. Time out. What in the world is a good burn? So, that's a good burn. Can you say those two words together? If you love something, the pain you go through is called entertainment. That's love. That's what love does. So are you sure you've given everything to Christ? How many times did I get saved the first year I got saved? 12? I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, that's how many times I prayed to receive Christ. I don't care what you think about that. I mean, I wanted to make sure. So now, we see the problems, the struggles. By the way, I don't know what I just said either. Just relax. I mean, we're almost at Thanksgiving. I'm getting ready to eat the turkey. So watch this now. So my point here is that there are three things that are struggles when you lose your first love. It hurts the people around you. It hurts you. And are you sure you're born again? Now, how do you get back to your first love? Well, let me just say this. People do crazy things when they're in love. I mean, what do I do when my wife and I have an argument? Branson, you've probably seen. Okay, so watch this now. So what do? I buy some flowers, and I open a door, and the flowers go in first. Now listen, I don't know why any man on the planet would do what I'm getting ready to say, but I've done it many a times when I've messed up and been a jerk or an idiot, and I want to tell my wife I'm sorry, I wash the baseboards. Why would you wash a baseboard? Because people do crazy things when they're in love. By the way, gentlemen, the 12 key words to marriage, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. I was rude. I was rrr. Did you hear the lady say wrong? I mean, people do crazy things when they're like, you do something for the Lord. I remember very soon after I did this kind of thing where one time I was rededicating my life to the Lord. So I said, I gotta get back to my first love. So I went out to the boardwalk here and I saw this big group of the biggest guys on the boardwalk, about 7 or 8 of them. Eight of them. And they're big, big thugs who look like they want to kill me right there on the spot. I mean, they could kill me right there. So I walked right up in the middle of them. I said, ha-ha, look at you guys. This is awesome. And I grabbed one of their arms. Right? So you can see me do this, catcher. Look at that arm. That's huge. Do you play football? God looks at me and says, Yeah, man, I play some football. I said, ha, listen, I'm the chaplain. It was back when I was a chaplain. I'm the chaplain for the USC football team. I could talk to coach. You guys want to play for South Carolina? Yeah, man, that'd be awesome, man. Yeah, I said, listen, man. They said, you're the chaplain. I said, yeah, what's the chaplain? I'm the team pastor. I tell them all about Jesus. And I started sharing the gospel. Three of the guys right there got on their knees weeping and gave their lives to Christ. It's amazing how you get back to your first love when your life is in danger, when you risk something. When you get, how do you, listen, if the Lord wanted me to lick the carpet up here, I would. Tadashi Dibadu was right there. I probably got some of his DNA in me right now. Yeah, I felt it, so. I mean, honestly, I couldn't care less. I could not care for a stinking second what you think about me licking the carpet. I don't care what you think about that. If Jesus wanted me to lick the carpet, I'd do it a million times. A million times. All I care about is what, no, I don't think he wanted me to, but I'm just saying if he did. I remember Steve Spurrier came up and said, preacher, did you really lick the carpet? I said, yes, sir. Well, I'm glad God didn't tell you to jump off a building. I said, appreciate that, coach. So watch this now. So my point here is that I don't care what it takes for me to get back to my first love. I want to love Christ. People do crazy things when they're in love. Before you go home, for those of you who are going home for Thanksgiving break, get back to your first love. I've noticed something about academia, which I am deeply in love with academia. I found out who God was when I studied here. I'd read the Bible through 6 times before I came to this school, very heaped in pride. Well, let's just find out. Raise your hand right now real quick. Raise your hand real quick. Just raise your hand real quick. Why aren't you raising your hand? Raise your hand up. I've told you to do something. Please raise your hand. I'm sorry. Raise your hand. Hurry up. How many of you guys wrestle with pride? Okay, appreciate that. So watch this now. Did you guys raise your hands? You're killing me, Smalls. Okay, so watch this now. So my point here, I forgot. What was I saying? I forgot what I was saying. Squirrel. Someone just. What was I saying? Bible. Okay, I got it now. Okay, so watch it. So I came here, found out who God was. But I know this happened to me even while I was here. I'd study so much the minor prophets, and I'd study, and I would look for nuggets, but every once in a while I found it drying me up a little bit. You know what I mean? Even though I felt it inside of my soul. So you got to do something to get back to your first love. People do crazy things when they're in love. Crazy things. But you know what? I haven't done this in a long time here. I've got 2 minutes and 38 seconds. And then probably five on top of that, but just because I'm on the board. I'm just kidding, loosen up. But let's do it right now. Let's have an invitation. Let's pray first. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you tell us what we need to do to get back to our first love. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what we're going to do. All eyes open, all eyes look around, wondering who would do it. Have any of you felt like you have left your first love in the past 2 or 3, 4 months and you'd like to get back to it? Stand up right now. Ten seconds. Nine. Eight. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Those of you standing, come on down right here. Try to find somebody. If you got good knees, just get on your knees. If you got bad knees, I got bad knees, but get on one knee. Get on your knees somehow and tell Jesus you're sorry. Say, Lord, I want to get back to my first love. People do crazy things. Go ahead and get on your knees. What are you killing me, Smalls? Anybody else wants to join them? Come on down here and join them. I don't care. Let's just pray now, Lord. It would be awesome if you'd revive our souls. Fill us up with yourself. We praise you and adore you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, stand up and give somebody appreciate a hug. Don't give them some sissy hug. Give them a big old hug. Crack their back. Give them a big hug. Hurry up. Those of you who are punching up, champions hug. You're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.